case number 10-1003, Metro PCS California LLC petitioner versus Federal Communications Commission et al. Mr. Kinnaird for petitioner, Mr. Bourne for respondents.
May it please the court, Stephen Kinnaird for Metro PCS California. The question presented in this case is whether the Federal Communications Commission may abdicate the enforcement of its own federal regulation in favor of a state commission that is not even regulating the matter under state law. FCC Regulation 20.11b requires wireless or CMRS carriers to pay reasonable compensation to local exchange carriers who are terminating both interstate and intrastate CMRS traffic. The Commission maintains on appeal that while it has the power to impose a federal reasonable compensation requirement on intrastate traffic, it may not determine the amount of that compensation in a complaint proceeding. And the Commission's position not only contradicts the rationale of the order below, but it is at war with the text of both the regulation and the underlying statutes.
It has been their longstanding view, though, right?
It has been the longstanding view that they will not preempt state rate making on intrastate interconnection. But that's very different from this question, which is that they would not enforce the reasonable compensation requirement even when it's brought in a 208 proceeding. And in fact, the commission did not, as counsel now states in the brief, hold that it doesn't have jurisdiction. The commission expressly held that it was not deciding that question, but it was simply declaring the California PUC the more appropriate forum to set a rate. And that cannot be squared with this regulation. Reasonable compensation requirement is a substantive requirement. In the interstate context, it has historically meant non-discriminatory rates that enable cost recovery.
The reg doesn't say who decides.
It does not, but it's a federal regulation, and the commission decides.
But it's a backdrop of federal-state regulatory authority over these issues, and it doesn't say the FCC shall decide reasonable compensation or the state PUCs shall decide reasonable compensation. So it's
The FCC could set of circumstances, they could decide reasonable compensation here. They said they would, right, after the California PUC decides it. Sets it, right?
They actually said they would not. That all it would come down to is whether or not that compensation has been paid. And that's precisely the requirement. Because even though you're correct, Your Honor, that it does not say who would decide, it is a federal law substantive requirement. It's the very same rule that applies interstate and intrastate.
But what is it about the FCC's interpretation that as you understand it, that would prevent them from passing on the reasonableness of the compensation that the California, the PUC establishes?
Well, they expressly say that in the order, that they would not review the reasonableness of the order, and that's the problem here. So, in the context,
it's a federal law, so the federal government has to decide. I mean, you're not suggesting that that's a constitutional requirement, are you? I mean, you could say reasonable compensation to be determined by the state PUCs. It could say that, right?
I don't think that the FCC could delegate the implementation of a federal regulation to the state commissions. And in fact, what they're saying is actually...
Intrastate compensation?
No, I don't think they can. And that, if they indeed have the power to regulate intrastate compensation, and we believe they do through Section 201 and 332, and they in fact have a duty to determine the justness and reasonableness of rates prescribed under 201, and so that are governed by 201, and a necessary incident to that in a complaint proceeding is that they have to resolve the proceeding and establish the rate. And that's what we've asked for here.
Is your argument that they actually have to establish the rate, or just that they have to determine if there's liability for you to pay?
Well, they're both questions. The antecedent one is there liability?
If they just did that, made that finding and stopped, would you be arguing that they've abdicated their responsibility?
Well, I think they
didn't set the rate?
Well, they wouldn't have resolved the complaint. They wouldn't have determined reasonable compensation. So they have to resolve the complaint. If they decide there's no liability, that resolves the complaint. If they decide there is liability, then they have to decide reasonable compensation. And effectively, what they have done is to interpret the term reasonable compensation to mean whatever the State Commission decrees, and that converts this regulation and Section 208 into a mechanism for the enforcement of state rate orders under state law, and that would be unprecedented under the Act. This requirement cannot be substantive in one application and non-substantive in another. Now, the Commission states that its interpretation is compelled by Section 2B of the Act and its proscription of FCC intrastate jurisdiction. But I think the Commission is ignoring the plain text of the Act of 2B itself, which exempts 332 from its provision. And again, if 2B did apply, the Commission would not be barred simply from fixing a rate. It could not apply 20.11B to intrastate compensation at all. We think they can because they have power under 201.332 with the exemption from 2B.
They have the power. I think they concede they have the power. And I don't think they're saying that they're compelled. I think what they're saying is they're permitted to adopt this interpretation under the statute, and they have the authority to go either way. They could take your position, I think they're saying, but they've chosen not to.
I think they have disclaimed the power to actually fix the rates. What they have said they could do is they could preempt state rates if they were so high as to effectively negate their federal...
Preempt state rates, I thought they took the position, we'll ask them, but that they could preempt state rates and then decide as the FCC to set the rates.
Yes, I suppose that would be true. But our position is, if indeed it's
your
a section,
they have to do that.
Well, if it's a Section 201 authority, they have to determine it in a 208 proceeding, because 208 says it is the duty of the Commission to resolve to conduct an investigation and resolve it within a specified time period. This court has held that is mandatory. So they cannot just punt a 208 complaint, and particularly in the context where they have preempted the traditional state means of regulating interstate traffic in this context. They preempted in the T-Mobile decision the filing of tariffs. And so there really is no established mechanism, and that is why it went back to the CPUC. The CPUC said, it didn't address whether it had authority. It said, we're not going to participate in the scheme because we're not even sure that our efforts will be realized in an actual conversation.
They're waiting for us.
And they are waiting for this court to decide.
They didn't say, even if the D.C. Circuit rules in favor of the FCC, we're still going to decline to do anything.
Well, they said that there was a second ground, which was that the FCC had not indicated, it had not resolved the issue of liability, and therefore there was no guarantee that a rate would be used. Now, the Commission now...
Still on hold, by the way, as a factual matter today? It's still where it was, as described in the briefs?
Yes, there's, a petition for rehearing pending, but no action on it. And the Bureau was very specific here that it was not deciding whether there was actual liability to pay under Rule 20.11B. The Commission says we have a liability to pay, but I don't think that that's correct under the Bureau's ruling, and it was not disturbed by the Commission. So the I think the key issue here is also that the commission in its brief is taking an interpretation of the statute that diverges from the interpretation that it has brought to this court in other cases involving CNRS, LEC, intrastate, interconnection compensation regulations. And in the Quest case, it did take the position that we have advanced here that there's plenary 201 and 332 authority. There's an exemption from 2B, and therefore 2B should not be in the equation at all, and 2B is the only fulcrum on which their argument for their regulation is their interpretation of the regulation on which it turns. And so I think at a minimum this court should consider remanding to the commission to explain what exactly is its position on 201, 332, and 2B, and does it have a rationale that would be...
I thought they explained it. I don't know what remand for further explanation would get. I understand your substantive disagreement.
Well, but I think what has not happened is they have not abandoned the interpretation that they are using in enforcing the other CMRS regulations. So you can't have that inconsistency.
I see.
And, Your Honor, if there are no further questions, I would reserve the remainder for rebuttal, please.
All right. Thank you.
May it please the Court, my name is Nick Bourne, and I'm representing the Federal Communications Commission. The issue in this case is what Rule 2011B means, not what Section 332C would allow us to do. The petitioners at page 30 of their reply brief acknowledge that they make no separate claim under 332 or 201, that they discuss those statutory provisions only for the purpose of explaining their view of what Rule 2011B means. The Commission construed Rule 2011B to require that, with respect to both interstate and intrastate traffic, principles of mutual compensation are applied. And that means that the originating carrier pays the terminating carrier and not the other way around, but that it does not reach, that rule does not reach, and thus does not disturb the state's traditional power to set actual intrastate termination rates that local...
What sense does all this make when the tariff, they can't do it by tariff?
Well...
I mean, normally that, maybe not normally, but tariffs are one way states...
That's one mechanism of implementing a rate, but it is not a substantive standard. The states are still able to make determinations according to their own substantive standards as to what an appropriate rate is. They could implement it through interconnection agreements or some other mechanism. The commission chose to preempt tariffing because tariffs are give local exchange carriers the unilateral power to impose a rate without prior commission review or without agreement among the parties.
So the reason tariffs are prohibited is because the LECs would get state approval for rates that would essentially be unfair to the cell providers.
It would give them the ability to unilaterally exercise market power.
Right.
But
so this will have to be before the state commission a more level playing field, somewhat more?
Well, the state commission would actually make a determination if the parties don't agree, and the local exchange carrier could not just unilaterally impose a rate.
The California PUC seem to have the same confusion that the petitioners have here about what exactly they're supposed to do.
They're supposed to set a rate according to whatever state rate-making standards that they choose to apply. And the commission stated that once that rate is established, the commission will not review it. It will implement it.
I just want to make sure I'm crystal clear on that, because I thought this paragraph in the order was a little ambiguous. There will, no matter how high it is, there will be no FCC review?
That's correct. Under 2011B, mm-hmm. Now a party could seek potentially to preempt the rate under 332 if it violated federal policies in some respect, but...
Well, that's a very vague statement there. What do you mean, violated federal policies in some respect?
If they could make a case for preemption, I mean, clearly if it was, the commission mentioned the circumstance in which the rate was so high as to effectively preclude interconnection. But that is not, at least it's conceivable that there could be other circumstances under.
What if the California PUC refuses?
If the California, well,
says we see, this we is see not our bailiwick.
We don't expect them to refuse. Okay. There's no indication in their order that they lack jurisdiction to take up the issue. I think basically they wanted to wait until the dust settles in this litigation before they expend their resources.
Help me understand, because maybe I'm missing something. Are you saying that the only time the FCC would get involved in this and determine that the compensation was reasonable is if it affected interconnectedness? Are there other reasons in which you would get involved?
Well, under 332, as the petitioners have noted, the Eighth Circuit in the Iowa Utilities Board case affirmed local competition rules that set prices for both local exchange carriers and CMRS carriers when the relationship exists when CMRS carriers are involved. So at least under that precedent, 332 is broad enough to reach local exchange carrier termination rates. The question is what the commission intended when it adopted Rule 2011B.
That's what I'm asking. What do you understand that the compensation has to be reasonable? When does the FCC then get involved to make certain that the compensation is reasonable? And you mentioned if the compensation is so high that it would affect interconnection. Is there some other reason?
But that's not under 2011B. The commission would never preempt under 2011B itself. 2011B does not establish a substantive standard for the state to impose with respect to elect termination, intrastate termination rates. It doesn't reach that.
Yes, it does. It says
reasonable compensation.
Yeah. But in the order that adopted the Rule 2011B, the commission, citing Communications Act precedent, construing the traditional division of authority but under Section 2 of the Communications Act, the commission stated at paragraph 231 of the CMRS second report and order that, quote, LEC costs associated with the provision of interconnection for interstate and intrastate cellular services are segregable, and therefore we will not preempt state regulation of LEC intrastate interconnection rates applicable to cellular carriers. And then the commission went on, as a matter of federal law, the commission at paragraph 233 of that order explained that Rule 2011B required only that, quote, LEC shall establish reasonable charges for interstate interconnection provided to commercial mobile radio service licensees. And then that's consistent with a long line of cases or commission decisions both before and after the second report and order, including the Air Touch order, which at paragraph 14 states that under Rule 2011B, quote, the determination of the actual rates charged for intrastate interconnection is left to the states. The commission simply applied that precedent in this case, and
Does that mean that the wireless carriers who are provide a nationwide service will have to go into 50 different states to figure out what the termination rate is going to be?
Well,
or maybe more, depending on how many providers there are.
Well, this case arises in an unusual setting. The vast majority of interconnection arrangements between wireless carriers and telephone companies are decided pursuant to voluntary agreements. In most cases, there's two-way traffic, which since the compensation goes in both directions, it largely offsets, and negotiating a reasonable rate or an agreeable rate is much easier. And at least when incumbent LECs are involved, the Section 252 process is available. This case is unusual because it involves North County's idiosyncratic business model that it has as relevant here only inbound traffic, and it made reaching an agreement probably more difficult, which is why this situation is not going to apply all the time. It's a relatively unusual situation.
It's only going to come up with a CLEC when one of the parties has only inbound, you think?
Most likely in that circumstance, yes. But again, the point is the Commission has been very clear about the meaning and reach of Rule 2011B in the rulemaking order in which it was adopted. It made absolutely clear, paragraphs 231 and 233, that it does not establish a substantive rate-making standard. It does not preempt traditional state authority to set the LEC, to set the rate that a local exchange carrier will charge a CMRS carrier for intrastate traffic. And the Commission, I think one of you pointed out that the rule itself doesn't draw a distinction between interstate and intrastate. I would say that the rule itself is silent on that question. And the answer to its reach is provided in the order that adopted it.
But it seemed to me that the Commission was not saying it was precluded from exercising jurisdiction, just that it chose not to. Right. So there, are they saying that 20.11 in fact prohibits or precludes them from doing that, or just that the way they are using it, they choose not to?
There's language about the more appropriate forum, et cetera. There's hedging language in this order. But I would submit that the rulemaking order that adopted the rule, as well as the Air Touch order, makes crystal clear that the rule does not reach intrastate rate making. And to the extent that the Commission has language suggesting that it has more discretion than it really does, but it actually exercises that discretion in the manner that the rule requires, that should not be a problem. I would compare that, for instance, to a case in which the Commission adopts a Chevron, purports, interpreting a statute says Chevron 2 applies and chooses a meaning, and the court looks at the statute and says, no, this is Chevron 1, but you picked the right meaning. There is some hedging language in the order itself, but the CMRS second report and order is clear. The Air Touch order is clear.
Just so I'm clear, your position is that under the statute, the FCC could change its approach to this and exercise jurisdiction?
Yes, that is correct. But the only claim before the court right now is the 2011B claim.
Right.
And
you're saying under the statute, the FCC is not required
they're permitted but not required to exercise jurisdiction in a case like this.
That's correct. And just in terms of the required, if you look at Section 332C3, that provision expressly preempts state rate regulation of rates charged by CMRS carriers. All the rates here are charged by ELEC. One other point. In the reply brief, the petitioners indicate that the AirTouch order is inconsistent with our position, and they cite some language in paragraph 11 suggesting that Rule 2011B applies broadly to interstate and intrastate. The commission in that paragraph made clear it was talking only about the mutual compensation requirement there, the requirement that the originating carrier pay the terminating carrier and not the other way around. In paragraph 12, the commission said that's in stark contrast to the actual rate setting. And then in paragraph 14, the commission summarizes it, its holdings, the meaning of the rule, and says it reaches mutual compensation for interstate and intrastate, but not the actual rate setting, which is left to the states. Yep. Thank you.
I think we understand your argument. Thank you. How much time did he have left?
4.5 minutes.
Give him 5.
Your Honors, I'd like to address the AirTouch order. I think the way that we interpret that order is that it did hold that it could decide mutual compensation and award damages in a 208 claim proceeding. And in that order and in the 1994 order, it did say it was not preempting the state setting of rates. We are not arguing here on appeal that there is automatic preemption. There's concurrent authority. But once you're in a 208 proceeding, they do have the authority to set a just and reasonable rate. In fact, if we had been the one who challenged North County, that under Section 205, there's express authorization, if we had said their compensation that they are asking from us is unjust and unreasonable, Section 205 gives express authorization to the commission to order a just and reasonable rate.
I don't know why it's required, though. I understand the point about the FCC could do it. I don't understand why they're required to do it as opposed to having the state agency determine the rate.
Because Section 208 requires them to do it, Your Honor, and it says they must investigate it and resolve it. And there's no basis for they cannot delegate federal authority. They don't have that authority to delegate federal adjudicatory authority over to a state commission.
Other than you preserving federalism, what's your interest in having it done before the FCC rather than the state?
Because it's going to make us go to 50 different states. There are already proceedings in New York, Michigan, and Kansas, not all of which involve us, but they involve other wireless carriers. It's a very big issue.
Well,
in that
opposing sense. Counsel claims that this is really quite unique, though, that this is not a situation that's going to be recurring again.
There are a lot of, it's a very profitable arbitrage to do this kind of one-way traffic, and that's what a lot of competing local exchange carriers have set their business up like this, so they can pump a lot of traffic and charge exorbitant rates. It's a major problem for the industry.
Is there some concern that the state PUCs are going to favor the CLECs in this?
Well, that may or may not happen, but I think we're not arguing that, but it's more this is a national system. The point of the 93 Act was to have uniform national regulation. I would like to address the AirTouch order because I think that's important. The commission has taken the position in its brief that AirTouch said mutual compensation, 20.11B, is inseparable as between interstate and intrastate, but the subsections, reasonable compensation or not, that analysis is nowhere in the AirTouch order. And I would also point out in the commission's...
Wait, the AirTouch order does say the determination of the actual rates charged for intrastate interconnection would be left to the states.
That's right. And that's because they were holding that was severable. But the commission's allegation is that mutual compensation is inseparable, and they never held that. And prior to 1994 and the 1987 and the 1989 orders, the mutual compensation requirement was only imposed on interstate because it was considered severable. So that's not a valid reading of Veritouch. That's an inconsistency there. The commission has said that they have power under Section 332 to preempt. Well, what they never do is square that with their argument that Section 2B applies. Because if Section 2B applies, preemption is extraordinarily narrow. You have to either show inseparability or that the state regulation will negate the federal regulation of the matter, of its own exercise of federal statutory authority. Neither of those conditions obtain here. The only way that you could ever preempt is because you have plenary 331 and 332 and 201 authority untrammeled by Section 2B. The preemption argument simply does not work. We believe this statutory scheme is one of concurrent jurisdiction. The issue of whether this is silent and whether it's a substantive requirement.
Why do you say concurrent? Aren't you saying federal?
There's the express preemption under the Act is only of CMRS rate regulation and entry regulation.
As to the precise issue before us, aren't you saying that there's federal jurisdiction only?
Only because by the force of T-Mobile, which has preempted the mechanisms of state rate regulation. But as a statutory matter, those outside of 332C3, there's concurrent jurisdiction. So, yeah, I think there is no way to square this regulation with the Commission's interpretation and to have a coherent vision and implementation of Sections 201 and 332. Thank you.
All right, the case will be submitted.
This honorable court is now adjourned until tomorrow morning at 9:30.